Morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Tuesday, Chuck Marlowe back for more, grinding it out. Although I felt like you sat out the Nota Begay interview just so you could save some energy for us. You're not a big golf guy. No, that's okay.
But also, during the whole show, we were trying to figure out the par of the PGA Championship, which we found out is
the
70.
The three-day PGA Championship.
The three-day PGA Championship.
Join us August 10th as they teed up. They're skipping. St. Louis is so unique, and we've had to scale back in our town. We're just going to have a three-day tournament.
Well, also, because we're Fox 2 guys, we should probably just say, I mean, it's not even televised, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't go to the tournament and watch, you can't watch on TV because I don't even think it's televised locally.
No. So just watch Fox 2 nonstop.
We'll have the
for
coverage.
Occasional highlights.
And the highlights, correct. Absolutely right.
Looking forward to that.
I'm really looking forward to that, seriously.
And I do think it's far out. It's 3 weeks from now. I think Dave Murray told me that the weather might be a little cooler, that the trends for August were actually temperatures coming down. So that will enhance the fun. Oh, a gratuitous plug since we're talking about it. Tonight, after the All-Star game on the 2 Fox, a piece about Ozzie Smith and the role that he played in getting the PGA Championship to come to St. Louis, to come to Belle Reve. It's really a unique story. And it also branches off into sort of his ambassadorship for our city. Name an event, ribbon cutting, grand opening, whatever, where you don't see Ozzie Smith, the St. Louis icon. You know, he is simply everywhere. And the backstory on it is really fascinating because the 100th in the golf world, I realize some people are like, oh, I'm tired of hearing about this thing. In the golf world, it's a huge deal to get to host that one. So these clubs like Valhalla and Louisville are like, what the hell? St. Louis got it? So really, in the golf community, there was a little bit of pissed offness.
That's a word, correct.
I think so. Lake pissed offness is where Coach Yo went, I think, right?
It's off the grid.
Mm-hmm. Off the grid.
We haven't had a major, 25 years-ish? When was the last one?
Yeah, the senior, right. So the actual
I'm talking
PGA. 26 years ago.
26 years ago.
Why do you hate old golfers?
Yeah.
I love old golfers, and I really enjoy Koki Adoki, my guy, covering that event. I've got to cover a couple PGA events, Buick Open back in the day. Got to see Tiger Woods win his 50th golf tournament in 2006, but I've never covered a major. And again, I'm not a huge golf fan, but I can't wait because this will be one of the signature sporting events, I would think, in St. Louis in decades.
Oh,
right?
Without doubt.
Besides a World Series.
Well, in the argument, and at first, I honestly thought it was kind of silly. Like, what are they talking about? And everybody involved with the event would say, this is the biggest sporting event St. Louis has ever hosted. I'm like, what? The World Series and people everywhere. I'm like, but that is kind of a, not only huge regionally, but it's a U.S. event, the World Series. It really is. Golf is an international sport, and it's covered internationally. If you grab a sports section in London or Ireland or Italy, it's going to have Mike Weir shot a 4-under. Tiger Woods is 3 off. The golf world.
All
is
your references are from 1997.
Is there also something to the World Series being spread out across two cities in like a week and a half, where this is just four straight days where all the eyes of this one sport are on your one city, and it's pumped up as being in the city? Whereas I think the World Series, no one really talks about, you know, the cities around it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the golf ones, there's conversations around the places where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, St. Louis is featured. You're going to have a constant. Let's hope they don't just show the old riverboats rolling up and down that we used to do on preseason Rams football for like 10 years in a row. Oh, the old Mississippi.
A nice tugboat.
Haven't we all been out on a good spin on the river lately? No, actually, we've never done that. But I think the whole point is the international reach. People in Japan will watch. People in Australia will watch. all of, not all of Europe, but people in Europe.
So this is going to help tourism from Australia and in London, like Sweden, because of St. Louis on TV is what you're saying.
No, it doesn't mean that this is going to translate into...
No, you're wrong about that, actually. Kevin Demoff told us, and I don't think you remember, but it's funny. The other day I was actually downtown, and I see this huge family of British people, and they're just taking in the sights and sounds, and I say,
hey. They were British.
I could just tell by the accent.
Okay.
They were the Rams.
They were eating bangers and mash, so I could tell they were Brits. And I said, you know, what brings you to St. Louis? And they said, remember that footy game? Rams and Patriots, really close game in London. I think it was 45-7. I believe the Rams scored first.
I'd hate to see what happens if you see somebody with bagels and locks.
Bagels and locks.
I believe it was a deep pass to Chris Givens. I don't know why I remember that. I wasn't there. You were there.
I was there. It was raining. Who was the receiver that was really good from the University of Illinois? And I always forget because he played for the
Brandon
Patriots.
Brandon Lloyd.
Was it Brandon Lloyd? Which team was he playing for at that point?
That's a great question.
But either way, I want to say the Rams scored first, touchdown 7-0. The Patriots then scored 45 straight. I remember Gronk had at least 2, maybe 3 touchdown receptions because he did the Buckingham Palace kind of celebration pretending he was one of the soldiers. I'll look it up here.
Let's look that up. So your point is...
I don't remember my point.
The Rams playing a game in London. This will give our fans a chance to see things internationally and allow our London fans now to come to St. Louis to enjoy a game at the first-tier dome until it becomes no longer first-tier. So we welcome our friends from the Buckingham area. Please come to our town and enjoy strange donuts. You're saying that didn't happen.
I don't know, man. I feel like the town's booming since...
So to Hoff's point, I don't think... They're telling you that this is going to lead to like some swell of tourism. It's just that it'll have this great international reach, whereas the World Series doesn't have the international
reach. Especially now with our local celebrities just singling out any foreign family who happens to come to St. Louis. Hey, British people, what are you doing down here?
Bloody hell. Where have the Rams gone?
Martin?
Yes.
You were right.
Chris Kevin's on a deep ball.
I was kind of right because Brandon Lloyd was playing for the Patriots at that time. So Chris Givens... 50-yard bomb, 2.5 minutes in from Sammy B, and the Rams go up 7-0, and then Gronk had a touchdown catch, and Brandon Lloyd, and Gronk again, and a bunch of field goals from Steven Gostkowski, 45-7, New England
was
Patriots.
2012. So, Fisher, they actually went a month early, I believe, to London, didn't they? Well, with the time changing. We'll take the guys to see Big Ben.
I was such a sucker for any Rams player showed any sort of promise. Caris Gavis has that one season as a rookie where he has like 5 catches for 50 plus yards.
Love the deep ball.
And I was 100% down with him being a monster the next year. And just he caught like 12 balls.
Of course, Brandon Lloyd was a Ram in 2010. He was really good, but he wasn't
2011.
Okay, 2011 wasn't good enough to play for the Rams. So New England. Did us a favor, and they took him because they always take lesser players.
Was that the debacle where they fired Josh McDaniels, and then when the playoffs started, he popped up on the Patriots staff for the playoffs? And
sounds right.
Everyone was like, can you do that?
Sounds right.
It sounds like Patriots stuff.
Brandon Lloyd had 2 touchdown catches.
In that game.
In that contest.
You and Banker probably.
That year. He had 4 that entire year.
We had a good time. Let me tell you. For all that I make fun of Jeff Fisher, for the social aspect of covering the Rams... He's by far my favorite coach, and it's not even close because, again, when you go to London, you stay for 3 days. When you go to San Francisco, Seattle, Arizona, San Diego, you stay for the whole weekend. When you go to Cleveland, Baltimore.
Flying the day of the game.
Day up. And you think I'm joking, but I'm not, and it was fantastic.
And I looked up video last night for this piece about Ozzy. Because they have this great organization called PGA Reach, and it affects things like the Boys and Girls Club. And I'm going through looking for some old footage, and I find a day where the Rams were at the Boys and Girls Club, and the opening shot is Jeff Fisher walking through, and he's just high-fiving all the workers and all the people there. And I'm like, that is just the money Fisher shot.
But Fisher also,
goodwill.
He gets it.
Correct.
And we always used to talk about this, but more than any coach I ever watched, whenever the NFL... They do their tribute to soldiers, as they should, which is great, but then you find out that they took a bunch of money for doing it. But either way...
Advertising.
Right. It is advertising. They have a budget. It's all good. But every time they would honor one of those soldiers, I never saw a coach get into it more than Fish. He would be respectful. He would clap, and he would make sure his entire sideline was clapping for the soldier.
And wouldn't he also during training camp, whenever they'd have like the vets out there and stuff like that, he'd make a really big deal about the vets being out there and watching the practice, and he tried to get them involved. Like that was one thing that he was 100% just committed to, no matter what. Now, maybe throwing the ball every more than five times a game could have been another thing he could have been really committed to, but oh well.
And they even had the kid. Remember, was it Rodriguez, the kid who was a former soldier?
Yes.
Little guy that was
Daniel?
A receiver, something like that.
Yeah.
Was on the team for a little bit. I think he was sincere. I mean,
I'm being serious.
But I do think he was sincere because even on his own, some of his charitable endeavors involved veteran activity.
They'd go to Scott Air Force Base at the end of training camp and do a scrimmage. Absolutely. Hello, workers.
Hello, workers. Midday Grind here. A lot to get to, clearly. And let's do this. Let's mention a couple of our good friends, which includes Bertarelli.
Love Bertarelli Cutlery. Sharp City, right there on the hill.
You have to yell, right? Is that the deal?
That's Doug's thing. Apparently what happened was, I think somebody called in and said, what, that Doug didn't say the phone number?
All right, here's what happened. Somebody called Bertarelli to complain that Doug doesn't say the phone number. So Bertarelli told us to include it.
Because they couldn't find that anywhere.
Because clearly the phone number is impossible to find if you just called them to complain about the lack of access to contact information. And to be fair, I think the website is listed, which I think websites are more of the way to contact a business now, say, than a phone number. But if you're still able to find the phone number, and also Bertarelli's a nice name, it's easy to remember. But that's how it happens. And then they decided for fun, have Doug yell into the microphone about the phone number.
Most businesses now will say, just mention our website. Because most people listening are, some people are on stilts and ladders, but most people are in their cars. So you're like, what did Doug just say? Honey, hold on, pull over real quick. Where did I put that pen? What was that number? Did he just? Most people just digest the website and then find that information.
Well, how about this? Digest this. I'm going to give you everything.
New sip. Digest this coming up at 12:42.
All right, BertarelliCutlery.com, 1927 Marconi, St. Louis, Missouri, 63110.
He didn't repeat the zip code.
63110. Phone number.
But what's the name of the company?
Bertarelli Cutlery.
How many T's are there?
Phone number 314-664-4005. Maybe you want to send a fax. 314-664-4713. New hours, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4, Saturday, 10 to 2. Sharp City, Bertarelli Cutlery, zip code 63110.
Ain't they got a Facebook page or nothing?
They probably do.
Oh.
Love Sharp City, though.
Yeah,
get your knives
that's the point. That's
sharpened
the point.
Or buy some new ones.
And also a reminder, next Tuesday, it's going to be the Press Box, the Midday Grind, the Hardline, all on location July 24th. That's a week from today. Prizes, including Cardinal ticket giveaways. Come on out, see your favorite shows, win those prizes, and check everything out because we will be at Westport Social. Great place to hang out, play some games, enjoy the food next Tuesday from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. 590 The Fan coming to you live from Westport Social. Chuck was a big fan of the Home Run Derby last night, and I do think if you could have a walk-off win with the hometown hero hitting it, that's about as good as it's going to get for the Derby. Matt Holliday on last hour said he thinks the format change has made it a much better event.
It's awesome. I went into it last night thinking, this might be kind of boring. I was locked in from 7 o'clock on, and even though I'm not a huge Bryce Harper fan, I'm not necessarily a hater, but as the competition progressed, I kind of wanted Kyle Schwarber to win. The way he was firing up
the card,
way he was firing up the crowd, that was pretty cool during that second round. But as you're thinking about Bryce Harper, probably his final year with the Nationals, maybe it is, but hometown fans, to see his dad out there who looks like Mr. Olympia the beard.
Probably younger than me.
Yes, throwing him BP. That was a really cool moment.
He had like a Jason Mott beard going, I felt, the dad did.
His dad had the yips for a while. That last round, I mean, there was a stretch of about 10 pitches where I would say 7 or 8 were not even probably strikes. And then he finds the groove and Bryce hits 9 straight. And then you have the conspiracy theorists on Twitter saying that Bryce actually cheated because they didn't wait for the ball to land to throw the next pitch. I'm fine with it.
And then it was great because Harper grabbed the mic, so he's talking to the PA, you know, to all the fans there. He said, I just want to say you guys are awesome, and since we're probably going to miss the playoffs, and even if we do make it, we'll probably bow out early. This is the greatest moment of our careers together. Thank you, fans. I'll be signing in New York or L.A., but thank you for everything.
And guys,
cool. He just kind of addressed it, right?
Guys, we're only 5 games out of the second wild card. It's all good. All right. Nice job. I like how he said nice job.
Nice job.
Nice job. You can tell he was kind of nervous. This happens to all of us. Like, you just don't know what to say. And he was like, I freaking love these guys. Yeah.
Nice job.
This is awesome. Nice job. That's what I would say. You know, it's just like, it's a, when you're nervous.
It was a little awkward, but it was good.
When you're nervous. You're nervous, you just say things.
And then you and I advocated that we wanted Chris Berman
correct.
One night.
I don't care what anybody says.
Awful announcing actually went on, and maybe Hoff ended the day. You can look up the results. They actually did an online quiz or poll last night and said, would this event be better with Chris Berman? So we weren't the only ones thinking that way, but a lot of the tweets online coming back, the replies, were basically saying we're idiots.
Well, we are idiots, but... My theory on this, and we've discussed this before, is that Chris Berman kind of became like Nickelback and Creed, where it's cool to rip on Chris Berman. And look, I get it if he's not your cup of tea, but Chris Berman, he made events bigger. You know what I'm saying? And for 30
plus years.
And I know
there was a shelf life, and it
got okay, but the home run derby was his thing. I get it if you don't like a normal baseball game, but guys are hitting a bunch of home runs. For him to do the back and name all the different cities and joke around with the puns and the nicknames, I appreciated it, that event each year.
How about Jordan Hicks tweeting that he wanted to have a velo contest? And I think Doug was joking about, so let's do this, get our Aroldis Chapman involved. And I said, you bring Bud Norris, and he's just yelling at him on this thing. Faster, damn it! Faster! And turn the music down! I do think you could have more of a skills competition, so it's not just for people who are sick of the Derby. You said you thought it would be boring. Zach Greinke yesterday said, asked about the Derby, and he goes, it'll probably just be kind of boring, and I'll leave.
He's a stick in the mud, though.
He's like Zach. Everything.
All Zachs are like this.
I love Zach Choate.
He's love like,
him. That, no, I love Zach Choate. Don't have a strong opinion on Zach Greinke, but it reminded me of something Zach would say, our Zach, not their Zach, would say, oh, what's the point? It's stupid. Just go home.
But how about Zach Greinke? Was it last year that our guy, former Cardinal, Pat Neshek, who's a big-time baseball card and memorabilia collector. Remember this? He always goes to the All-Star game when he gets there, which I think he's been an All-Star a couple times.
As a fan?
I think he's been there at least once or twice. I'll look it up. But he's always collecting all kinds of autographs, baseball cards, memorabilia from all the players. That's his thing. Like, he spends a ton of money on baseball cards. And he said Zach Greinke was the one guy who wouldn't give him autographs. They actually got into a big spat about this. And Pat Neshek even mentioned the fact that Zach Greinke had social anxiety disorder back in the day, which is a low blow if you ask me. But still, Zach Greinke, come on, dude. Give the guy your autograph. Seriously. Who
well,
cares?
We know that Zach Greinke, yeah, he's definitely a unique guy. Is that fair?
Yes. But so is Pat Neshek.
So would you like to see more of a skills competition?
I would.
Guys
I think
stealing a bag. Maybe the Cardinals could do like a pickoff contest, getting picked off.
Tommy Pham maybe in that one.
First to third.
I think velo contest, nobody would do that because they
Correct.
Would worry about injuries. But what about, you know, in baseball, you run the 60-yard dash. In football, you run the 40-yard dash. What about a 60-yard dash? You set it up in the outfield. Or maybe you do running around the bases as fast as possible. You have Harrison Bader. You have Billy Hamilton. You have some of the fastest players in baseball. I think that would be something cool. That wouldn't probably injure the players. I think the velo off, they're not going to do that.
Couldn't you do something Tommy Mansky inspired and have like a trash can at home plate and
I
see
like that.
How many people, who can throw the most in there from the outfield?
That would be cool.
Yeah, I think you could do a little more. They have the batting practice, and then MLB Network has these guys on, and it's like the biggest yuck fest you've ever heard. And I like yucks. We're all about the yuck.
Bro, I love you. You're having such a great season, bro.
Dude, you are just raking.
Keep mashing.
Like when you get to a media room, is that how you guys react? Like you walk up to...
Bro, great piece last night.
You know, I love the mayor, Sean Casey. I know we have the mayor, Maurice Drummond, as well. Sean Casey is the king of that, but he's also genuine. He truly is the nicest player I've ever met. Covered him a bit with the Tigers. He is the nicest person you'll ever meet.
And I wasn't even thinking of him, although he's guilty of the bro stuff a lot.
He's a big bro guy.
It's just their whole panel. And they do it a lot, but especially with the All-Star. Oh, dude, you are raking.
Hitting bombs.
Look at you, man. Then again, it's the All-Star game. Guess what? The guys that are there, are having good seasons.
Most of them.
Invite a couple
what
of
are
guys
you doing
to a terrible season. Yes. Hey, speaking of home run derbies, how about the fact the Pujols Family Foundation is bringing a home run derby to St. Louis? It's a fundraising event. However, you get to hit home runs. How cool is that? The funds are going to the Pujols Family Foundation, and for years they've been going to the Dominican, handing out and taking care of medical care for the kids down there. It's also going to benefit Cardinals care. It's really for anyone ages 9 to 99. We got that 100-year-old guy who's been chiming in. We're going to see what we can do. Here's the deal. Six different age divisions, qualifiers, coming up September 9th at Vianney High School. Also one September 22nd at Maryville. Top participants from each age division get to advance. They're going to have the big finale down at Busch Stadium on November 3rd. Simply make a $50 donation to register, and you are in. You get 1 minute in the box when you donate $50. Also get an event T-shirt. The more you raise, the more time you get in the box. Pretty cool. More information, STLHomeRunDerby.com. It is presented by My Brand Promo and Rawlings. The more money you raise, the more time you get in the box. How cool is that? Home Run Derby, you think you can crush it? This is your chance to hit some jackaroos.
Bombskis.
Get signed up on the web. It's STLHomeRunDerby.com.
Matten, Pat Neshek, two career All-Star games. Made the All-Star game last year.
And in 14?
14 with the Cardinals.
Served up a bunch. Did he take the loss in Minnesota? You were there, I think.
That was the Wayno Jeter game.
That was going to be a trivia question at the end.
Oh, no.
Last Cardinal to take a loss in the All-Star.
But Neshek, 7-2, 1.87 ERA for the Cardinals.
And a lot of Molina love for his ninth trip. And Derek Gould's piece was really good. But I do want the Cardinals to stop. And they're not the only ones that do this. But the whole goat emoji. And Molina is a very good catcher, arguably, and Brian Koenigl spent 8 hours on it today, but arguably a Hall of Fame player.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Arguably, Joey Votto spoke out saying he agrees. Okay. So I guess he's a bumpkin idiot, too.
And Molina is a great Cardinal. Is he the GOAT? What does that mean? The greatest catcher of all time? Does that mean the greatest Cardinal? What does it mean? Every time now they tag something, it's GOAT. It's the GOAT.
Do you think that Ted Simmons gets mad that he thinks he's the GOAT?
The
Cardinal
ghost
catcher.
Of Gary Carter's not happy. Johnny Bench might jump
But I mean,
off
if we're and, talking, like, look.
But what do they mean by that? Because I'm just tired. I mean, everybody does it. Hey, LeBron's here. Goat emoji. Hey, Michael Jordan's playing golf. The GOAT's playing golf today.
But Jordan and LeBron.
Tiger's going to be at the PGA. Good to see the GOAT out
right.
on the links.
But they're arguably the best of all time in their sport. And we all love Yachty. And he probably is, right, the best Cardinal catcher of all time. Would you put him above Ted Simmons? But I think we all know he's not the greatest catcher of all time, but all the teams do this.
I know, but I'm just saying I'm a little worn out on the use of the goat emoji.
I think, though, that Yadier Molina, for his Hall of Fame candidacy, which has been talked about so much recently, especially on MLB Network with Brian Kenny, I think it really helps his brand
to keep
the name out there, to rack up the All-Star games, to rack up the gold gloves. Even when he was basically the captain of Team Puerto Rico, and you just kind of see him doing well with the blonde hair, having success, the more you see Yadier Molina in that light, the better chance he has to make the Hall.
Is he going to play tonight? You think they'll get all? They have three catchers. Probably find a way to get them all in.
Well, hey, I would think
so.
Played
a hot hand. He homered last year.
He did. That was my favorite All-Star Monday night, Tuesday pre-show filler. I'd always tee up the Reggie Smith home run. I think it was 1974 in Pittsburgh. The last Cardinal to homer. I mean, as a kid, cousin John and I would always go over to the Dooley house. We'd order Pizza Hut. We would always watch the All-Star game, sit around. We got a little older. We would sneak beer in. And you just wait for your Cardinal player to get an at-bat. And nothing really ever happened. Thank you, Yachty. You are the GOAT. Thank you for hitting that home run.
You just changed your mind.
I just changed
my
mind.
In the last 2 minutes.
Stumbled into a new take guy.
What's up with this GOAT? Now, wait a second.
I mean,
Yachty is the GOAT. Hold on a second. No, if you think about it, he is the GOAT.
I mean, who would say that he's not? Well, you just did. Well,
But that was in the past.
I rescind that. All right, Kenny Wallace is coming up next. Tuesdays with Kenny, a staple here on the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan.